afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. In today's show, we'll be looking at conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Cher Huber. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Great.
Good. Good. You sound full of energy.
I am full of energy.
Wonderful.
We're always talking about conscious compassionate awareness.
Yes.
But I thought one of the conversations that we should have sometime is about being too busy.
Being too busy.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who isn't too busy?
No.
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 No, we don't. We don't. And so I've been looking at that because everybody I know is too busy, really too busy. And really, really too busy. And I thought, you know, the problem with it is that people think being too busy means you can't have fun.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't think that's the case because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. If being too busy means you can't have fun, why do people work so hard at being too busy?
Uh-huh.
So I think we all need to admit that we like being too busy. We got to drop the too from it, you know. Just admit that we're grateful that we got up this morning and that most of the pieces of us are working and that we have enough going on in our lives that we can be too busy.
Yeah.
Just say, how are you? Oh, busy.
Yeah.
Busy. In fact, I came up with this book title a few months ago. I wanted to write a book called Busier Than Ever and Having More Fun.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm so tired of this illusion that busy is something that just happens to us, that, you know, it's beyond our control. It's just, you know, I woke up one morning and there I was too busy, and I've never been able to get a grip on it, and really I should be able to be in control of this. If I were the right person, I wouldn't be too busy. And just say, no, this is just all a big con. And and we're all busy, and we love it, and it is our choice. And the only thing that we have a harder time with than being too busy is being bored.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what I've been looking at today.
Well, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take too busy and just add having fun.
Yeah.
Because
they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah, I'm busy, and I love it. Because if I didn't love it, I'd be doing something else.
Yes. That's very exciting.
Yeah. I think it's just honest, you know?
Yes.
I think sometimes we have trouble solving problems because what we're saying is not what's really true.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And that if we just say what is really going on, then it makes everything a lot easier to manage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm making a lot of decisions that make me really, really busy, and then I'm pretending that I'm not making those decisions, and I'm having a life experience that I haven't chosen.
Uh-huh.
But if I stop and say, you know, I'm making these decisions, and this is the result of the decisions,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also this wild card of conditioning just says whatever it says, regardless of what's going on.
Huh?
So, you know. Just break it down and really look at it, be honest about what is so, and then see how much of that I want to be different, and probably for most of us, not very darn much, since using the same thing over and over and over and over.
Yes. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Sherry, we have a gentleman here who would like to talk with you.
Well, I am thrilled.
Wonderful.
Let's talk.
Let's talk. I'd like to welcome Wes. You're on Open Air with Cher Huber. Wes, are you there?
Now, see? Then he got shy on me.
Yeah.
What happened? What did we do to Wes?
Wes, are you there?
All right.
Hello, Wes. Maybe Wes will
call.
This
is like those moments, you know, when you're talking along and all of a sudden you can't remember what you were going to say.
Hello, hello, hello.
Wes.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
We have made contact.
Sherry, hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
How are you? Sherry, I just recently got your book, There's Nothing Wrong With You, and I just really appreciate it.
Good.
It speaks of so many things that I have always sensed are true, and one of the main things is just the idea of compassion. I'm in my early 60s now, and of course, as I get older, I find myself feeling more compassion for other people, especially old people. But I now see that compassion for myself and for other people is just basic.
Yes.
And I love it.
I'm
busy.
Good.
I'm busy enjoying compassion. And I have a long ways to go, of course.
But I just got cold chills on that one.
This idea of how much I have been programmed and conditioned in my life, and knowing that we've all had that,
mm-hmm.
and your book so wonderfully brings all of this out, and this idea of self-hate, the self-hate thing, I sort of is still... Hello?
Hello?
How are we doing?
We're still here.
Are we still here?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Say a little bit about self-hate. Is self-hate the part that finds all the stuff in me that's deemed bad and weak?
Yes. And, you know, it's a very subtle and complex process.
Okay.
So there's... On the surface, the easiest way to me to make sense out of it is that before you were able to have any idea what was going on an intellectual level, but not able to understand anything about the information that you were getting information that there was something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Okay, and in your little tiny person brain, it's just, you know, as we say in California, it's just bad energy.
Yeah.
You don't know why people are yelling or why they seem so upset or where all of these vibrations are coming from. You just know that they're coming at you and they're from the people who are most important in your world, the people that your survival is dependent upon.
Yeah.
So you take that in and you internalize that. And... that's what makes it so hard for people to get a handle on, because it feels like as deep as you can go in looking, your earliest memory, there you have information that you're a bad person, that there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Now, you probably know, since you're talking to me on this radio show, that essentially you're a good person.
That's right.
And you've probably devoted your life to being the best person that you know how to be.
That's right.
And yet, no matter what you do, it's not enough. There's still that vague kind of nagging.
Yeah, that kind of stuff still lurks there.
It still lurks there. It's just we're right ready to believe the voice that says, oh, my God, what is the, you miserable.
Yeah, you screwed up again.
Yeah, and I think it's because that information got put in before memory, before rational, conscious thought.
I see.
You see, there was nobody there to say, now, wait a minute, that's not true. I spilled that milk, but I didn't mean to.
Yeah, that's right.
So that system is in there, and I think it is true that for a period of time, there was an effort on the part of that survival system to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide that you're going to be perfect, you're going to be a good boy, and you're going to always do the right things, and then people be happy with you.
Yeah.
But then it spins out of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, psychology has explanations for that. Most religions and spiritualities have an explanation, you know, make up something about how that works or why it's that way.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it does begin to have a life of its own. And now, when you look at it, it's not... You know those voices are not trying to take care of you or protect you or you know, make you safe or get you a better life.
Right.
They are the, for most people, they are the source of your problems in life.
Wow.
Without that voice, I mean, if you just think about your day, you know, where else do you get that information? Hardly anybody says to you the things that your the voice is inside your head.
That's right, I say to myself.
That's right. Nobody says those things to us outside of our, inside our heads, outside of inside our heads.
Yeah.
So without that conditioning, you wouldn't be suffering. You might feel pain over things that happen in your life, but you wouldn't be suffering.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the simple version. And again, different systems have different ways of talking about what that is. But what we're really up against is altering our relationship with that conditioning system.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're learning to look to your, now again, what are we going to call it? Your essential nature, your heart, your higher self.
Yes.
For information that is true about who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, instead of looking to that old programming that, you know, no matter what you do, it's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, I sure, that's exactly it. I've been experiencing both sides, all of that. You know, I have a sense of who I really am, the good person, the eternally good person.
Yes.
I also have this self that criticizes me and is full of regret at times, and I just spin with that.
Yes, and that's such an interesting one, guilt, regret.
Oh, geez.
For the past, fear,
anxiety, all the time.
For the future.
Yeah.
And again, when we look at it, we realize, you know, this is not serving anything other than suffering.
Yes.
It doesn't improve your past. It doesn't protect you in the future. It just makes you suffer.
Yeah.
But so many people, of course, before they catch on to a notion like self-hatred, actually believe that that voice is them, number one, which is horrifying, and that it's protecting them, that it's on their side and making them a better person.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Yeah, which is really, and the saddest one of all are the people who believe that that voice is God.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, and there are people who deeply
believe that. I wouldn't want to be in that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rugged place.
Yeah. It's just all kind of gelling for me now, and your work and your guidance is just come. Well, the old saying, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And so I've picked up a lot of books along the way in my lifetime, and picking up yours has been just right for me. And I'm now also noticing how valuable the now moment is, this pristine moment.
Yes.
that when I bring myself back to this moment and take a deep breath and just let my, it just seems to be able, a way to sort of wash away.
Yes. Everything is forgiven. Everything is your home.
Yes.
There's nothing to be afraid of. There's
exactly.
Nowhere else to be. This is just it. It's the divine. It's pure. It's heaven. It's wonderful. Yeah.
It's. I tell you, it's a gift to me. I am really. I've been reading your book for about 2 weeks here, and the last 2 weeks have really been a wonderful eye opener for me. And I'm working with keeping myself in the now as much as possible, and breathing deep, and letting myself be cleansed of all this falsehood.
Yeah.
And just sailing again into the now moment, free and clear.
Yeah, and you know what you're describing. You have just started awareness practice, right?
Well, great.
Yeah. So because you know, before you were just kind of swimming upstream, probably like the rest.
I was just at the effect of it.
Yeah, and then you have this enlightenment. Really,
it's
an enlightenment. And then, and so now you really see what's going on.
Yes.
So now the work is what pulls me out of the present, and then taking that deep breath and getting back, and then watching myself be pulled out again, taking that deep breath and coming back.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just the most exciting, fulfilling, rewarding pursuit that a human being can take up.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I hope to see you in San Diego.
Oh, lovely. Be sure to come up and tell me who you are.
I will.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Wes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's exciting to be here today. It's great to hear from Wes, too.
Yeah, you know, that's a true statement. It's exciting to be here today.
Yeah.
You know, it's exciting to be.
It's exciting to be.
You know, and to be here, as Wes is pointing out, is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be here now, this is a very good thing.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have some callers waiting. And we're going to get to them right after this break. Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Keep it tuned here for our second segment of today's show. We'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness, and we'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, it's great to be here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we've established.
Yes. And we have lots of callers lined up here, so it's
That's
exciting.
That's a good thing, because it is a call-in show.
It is a call-in talk show. I'd like to welcome Paul. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Well, Sherry, I wanted to report back on something that you gave me some input on that worked out really well.
Oh, I love that. Please tell us.
So I've been struggling for actually a few years with something that I was calling floating anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So what that looked like was every day, maybe a couple times a day, I would feel just really restless and like I really didn't know what to do with myself. And the darndest thing was that I couldn't really figure out. Like, nothing really seemed wrong, per se. I just knew that I felt really restless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd been talking to a psychologist sometimes about this, and just things weren't really getting much better on that front. And I was at a retreat with you. I was at a North Carolina retreat. And I mentioned this, and you asked me what I felt in my body when this happened. And I said I felt a tightness in my stomach. So your counsel to me was to pay really close attention to that and kind of see how that feeling developed over time. And so later that night, I was meditating, and sure enough, I felt really restless. So I was just watching and watching and watching. And I kid you not, maybe 10 minutes later, I actually burped, and then I suddenly felt better. Is that something?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, a lesser person would be on anti-anxiety medication.
Yeah.
And all you had was a little burp.
Wow. And you know, and it what amazed me was just, first of all, it seemed so simple. Like, why couldn't I figure this out, you know, a couple of years ago? And I couldn't. But also just that awareness practice seems to give me the tools to figure stuff out on my own.
Yes. Yes.
That I might not see otherwise.
That's right. And that's the secret. Instead of going with the aspect of the personality who is conditioned to figure things out
mm-hmm.
through a program
mm-hmm.
that was never examined, just accepted, right? So that's the part who would say, oh, my God, there must be something wrong with me. Who do I need to see? Okay, I need to go to the doctor, I need to get a prescription, I need to get something that's going to take this experience away from me. Because you're doing awareness practice, what you went to is, let's stay with this and see what's going on.
Yep.
And in doing that, all is revealed, which is always the case. There's nothing that we can't get to the bottom of in exactly the way you described if we're just willing to go with what we're conditioned to believe is uncomfortable or frightening,
mm-hmm.
to stay with it, keep watching, see what's there, and there it is. You see it, and what you get is, well, there's really nothing I need to do about this.
Yeah.
Hmm? You don't even need to take Rolaids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's just some stuff moving around in the body.
So actually, I got to wondering why I felt sick so often. So I started really paying attention to when I'm eating. And what I found is that I tend to eat very quickly. It's historically been my habit to read while eating. And also, I tend to eat more than I actually want. So I looked at the serving sizes that I give myself, and it's more than I actually want if I'm paying attention. So just by, I would say, paying more attention while I'm eating, I find that I eat a little bit less than I would otherwise, and I eat a lot more slowly.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that I'm feeling sick a lot less.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
There's an old Chinese thing about two-thirds, they're talking about food, two-thirds for the body, one-third for the doctor. So there it is. You know, at two-thirds of what your stomach can hold, your body's happy. But conditioning wants to put in that extra third for whatever reason. And that's the one often that we struggle with. Because for an awful lot of people, of course, that final third is stuff that they really don't need to be eating. You know, so that's when we get into sugar and desserts and high-fat things and all of that. Yeah. So, again, just by paying attention, you see what your body wants, what it needs, what it responds well to, you can provide it, problem solved.
I'm wondering if you could give some tips for further being able to notice body sensations, because I'm wondering if this is the tip of the iceberg.
Ooh.
And there's a bunch of other stuff I could notice, but I haven't, I'm kind of at a loss for how to notice these things.
Well, of course, one of the, just opening yourself to it can make a tremendous difference. But if you train yourself just to stop regularly during the day and just notice, you know, you could notice a different part of your body. Like today, you notice your feet. And you just notice how your feet feel at all different times of the day. You know, after you've been walking, after you've been sitting, you know, whatever it is. Then the next day, you're going to notice your legs. And maybe you focus in exclusively on something like your knees or on your hips, you know, the joints in your pelvis and all of that sort of thing. And you just notice. You notice where you feel different muscles. You tense different muscles, relax different. I've been running again. I didn't for a while, and I am again. And I'm using this process. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember the fellow's name, but it's the Chi of running, and which has kind of taken the country by storm. And the premise of, I mean, there are lots of them, but one of the things that's so important in what he teaches is that every muscle in your body is relaxed while you're running. Now, this is certainly not the way I've run in the past, because, you know, run, you have to effort a lot. You know, breathe hard and struggle and things like that. I mean, that's the point of that kind of exercise. And so to run with the awareness on relaxing more is really quite extraordinary. And I like it as an awareness practice. You know, I mean, the running benefit is great, but the reason that I wanted to start again was to practice this this mindfulness while exercising. So, you know, then you just work through your body, and you notice what happens when you tense certain muscles in different parts of the body. Like one of my favorite things is to do you get acupuncture ever?
Yeah.
So when you're getting acupuncture, noticing the needle goes in, where else do you feel that in your body? And can you make the connection? So when you start paying attention very, very closely, the needle goes in, and you could actually put the needle in. You could point where the next needle is going to go in, because you can feel the end of that meridian, which is, I can only guess, how they discovered acupuncture in the first place. Yeah. So just applying the same principle of watching, paying attention, and as it gets more subtle, you get more subtle. You watch more closely and carefully, and you'll see it all.
Great. I'll try that.
And, Paul, the other piece of it that happens is that it's not like you're watching it and you're gathering information or you're reaching conclusions. Because in my experience, what happens as you watch that closely is, as strange as this sounds, it's as if your body begins to give you information. So the information is not any longer coming from that programming, which is what we're supposed to do, right? So my knee hurts, and I look to my conditioned mind to tell me what's going on with my knee. As I go more subtly into the knee begins to give me information, which is very helpful. It's the same thing with food. You know, where you people do this all the time, I think unconsciously. You go into a restaurant and you read the menu, and what are you doing? Essentially, you're asking your body what it wants. Now, unfortunately, an awful lot of people, because they're disconnected from their bodies, are asking their conditioned mind what it wants.
Right.
But as we practice and become more in tune with our physical being, then we just read the item and watch what the body responds to. And pretty soon it'll tell you what it wants to eat.
Great. I'll give that a try.
Yeah. And then you'll let us know.
Yeah, Sherry, thanks so much for your help. Your stuff has really helped me a lot.
I'm so glad, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can reach us at 888-514-2100, and that's a toll-free call. Sherry, that's fascinating about body sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's amazing stuff.
Yes.
It's amazing. I was doing some work with our yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Who's doing a training in this process called Franklin something or other.
Franklin, uh-huh.
Yeah, and the Franklin method or something like that. And the principle of it is that when you turn attention to something, it improves.
Uh-huh.
So it's as simple as, you know, with the knees. So you're having trouble with your knees, and as you get to know the knee, okay, now, so often we will, something's going on with my knee. I'm trained to live in a conversation about what's wrong with my knee. Oh, my
knee,
it hurts.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I wonder if it's this. I wonder if it's that. Maybe I should this. Maybe, you know, maybe I need to. And what's possible for us is to say, now, wait a minute. Yeah, unless, you know, you, this is not true for you. It certainly is true for me. I don't know anything about the knee. I don't know anything. You know, I've never actually needed a knee. So now I'm going to look at a book, and I'm going to find out all the pieces and parts. I'm going to get my little skeleton out and move the knee and see how the kneecap moves and see how all those things happen. And then when I'm moving my knee, I am moving with an awareness of what the knee is accomplishing. And then with that kind of conscious awareness, I am attending to the function of the knee. I'm careful of it. So I might, you know, I might have injured it because I have an unconscious habit of doing something that's not the way the knee works. You know, so I'm standing at one, and then I turn really quickly or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm now sensitive to knees. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the move. And as I'm aware of it, the function improves. So the knee can actually heal itself, it's the way it looks, simply through that kind of conscious awareness. And in my experience, from what I've learned, it's true.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, I've always done this with mental emotional stuff. And so to be applying this kind of minute awareness to the body is very fun.
Wonderful. This is great stuff today.
Yeah, every day.
Every day is a great day. Sherry, we have Maggie on hold here, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to her right after the break. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness and whatever you want to call in about. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Wow, it's an exciting show today.
Good callers make good conversation.
Yes, yes. And I love all the stuff on body sensations as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'd like to welcome Maggie from San Diego. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Well, hello, Michael and Sherry.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I recently found myself in a familiar pattern. Good news is that I found myself there, which
That's
is good.
Right.
but it was, I was speaking to my daughter, who is pregnant, has a toddler, and teaches full time. And she was telling me that she couldn't do something because she was just so tired. And, you know, she was talking about how tired she was. And here's my pattern, is that my attempt to help, I said to her, you know, only conditioning gets tired. I have to tell you, it didn't go over very well.
Oh, is she still speaking to you?
Well, you know, it did create a little distance, and then the good news is that I got to sit with that and look at that.
It's awful, isn't it, did it just kind of echo in your mind?
Yeah, you know.
Reverberating.
Not a good thing to say to somebody who is going through all that. And what I realized and eventually said to her was that it was only conditioning that would say that
yes
to somebody who was going through all of that. So that was a big aha for me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And, you know.
And a big relief for her.
Yes, yes, yes. And I realized that, you know, coming from center, it would have just been simply compassion, saying, gosh, you know, I appreciate that. You've got a lot on your plate. And
yes, in fact, from center, our response would probably be something like, gosh, can I help?
Yeah.
Yeah, is there anything I can do? Wow, that's, you know, that's kind of more than one person really should be asked to do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because in throughout much of time, when the show started, I was talking about being too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Through much of time, having a toddler and being pregnant would be considered a full-time job for a woman.
Yes.
You know, taking care of a family would be it. But now,
yeah,
there's all of that, plus working full-time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So it was a big aha for me, and I realized how many times that my conditioning jumps in this, you know, fools me into thinking that I'm trying to help.
Yeah.
And it really isn't help at all.
Yeah. And I love it that you caught yourself in conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm, so often somebody has to point it out to us later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have to be kind of defensive about it and feel bad and that sort of thing. But when you wake up in the middle of it and you recognize that it's a pattern you have, it's one of those yes moments.
Yes.
You know, awareness practice really works and pays off in very helpful ways.
Yes,
you
know, it sure
really
does.
I can wake up in the middle of something like that. I can see what's going on. I can recognize it for what it is, and I can use that awareness to cause a relationship to be closer.
Exactly, to reconnect.
Yeah.
in a much deeper way.
Yes,
in a more authentic way.
You know, when people first start doing a practice, especially one like the one we do, where mm-hmm, there are all kinds of kind of psychological tools and techniques, the temptation to use it on other people is almost overwhelming. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is, you know, we don't say, well, I think that's just a subpersonality of yours, or you know you're projecting. When we can say, ooh, wow, that's a subpersonality of mine, or, mm-hmm. That was total projection.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do have the opportunity to bring relationships closer, to help relationships be more intimate, because people feel safe with us when we're taking responsibility for ourselves.
Yes, yes. It's so true.
A wonderful modeling. Mom.
Yes.
It's a wonderful modeling.
Yes.
It really is to say, oof, okay, I saw that one. I'm glad I saw it, and here's what it is. And boy, not to feel bad, not to feel guilty, not to go into self-hatred. That's wonderful modeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And while I recognize that pattern and that, you know, what I said was inappropriate to the situation and unnecessary and all of that, I also wanted to address that what I said was only conditioning gets tired, because I've been thinking about that since I said it. It's like, okay, who are you talking to here? And is there a difference between tired, you know, just, you know, physically tired because you've been doing a lot, and fatigued, you know, where you drag around and can't seem to get the energy up for much of anything?
Well, that's a tricky one. That's one of those ones that really warrants a lot of close attention. Generally speaking, though, tired is a conversation, much more than a physical experience. So many of the things that we struggle with, physical pain is usually a conversation in the mind. It's not actually something in the body. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. So people say, take something like sitting in meditation, and people will say, "Well, you know, it's painful. You know, it's not really compassionate to the body. It's not really kind to the body." But the body is not what cares about pain.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes.
Conditioned mind cares about pain.
Yes.
Now, intelligence notes pain. Intelligence is certainly aware of pain, and that is one of the things that we learn to tune into to be attentive and sensitive to ourselves, okay? Because we don't want to purposefully put the body in a state of pain. However, sitting in meditation, generally speaking, is not not dangerous to the health.
No.
Okay? And so it's not that the body is unhappy sitting there still in one position. The body's not unhappy that the foot has fallen asleep. The body's not unhappy that the back aches. It's the mind that's unhappy with all of those things. So the body actually, in my experience at least, doesn't care that it's tired. It's the mind that makes that mean something and comes up with all kinds of difficulties and problems and conversation about how this feels, and I don't like this, and I don't want to do this, and why does it have to... Now, that's not the body being tired. Are you with me?
Yes. Yeah. Making sense.
So for the body to be tired can be a fascinating process, you know, just to watch what happens. Like, very often, you'll go through stages where you feel very relaxed because body doesn't actually have enough resources to maintain tension. The mind can get a little goofy when you get really tired because there isn't the same energy to be maintaining the same systems that are usually there. And yet, it's extraordinary how far beyond the first voices of "I'm too tired," the body is perfectly happy to go and perform.
True. Yeah.
And then we want to separate that out from self-hatred, right? So we can have conditioning that says, "I don't want to do that, I'm too tired." And then we have conditioning that says, "Who cares if you're tired? Do it anyway. You're just a baby.
Yeah.
You're just lazy. You're just Okay.
Yeah. Either
so
way, I guess, yeah.
Right in between there is center. And at center, we're operating off of real information about what's going on. So, you know, if you haven't slept in a really long time, you might not want to drive heavy equipment, which you probably wouldn't be doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a reason to be cranky.
To be what?
Cranky.
Ah, yeah.
Now, we make it a reason. I'm really tired. Why are you cranky? I'm really tired. Well, I don't want to make the effort to come back to center. I would rather just come out of conditioning and be snippy with you.
And that's what it is. It's a decision not to come back to center.
Oh, yeah.
Not conscious for a lot of people, but it's
that's
a decision.
Right. But we're bringing more consciousness
all the
time. So there's a way in which I would agree with that. It's conditioning that is in that conversation about being tired.
Okay.
And that's not the same as somebody like your daughter, whose body is really taxed in every direction, and what she really needs to do probably is lie down and go to sleep.
Yes.
But she can't do it because she has all these responsibilities. So she's really pushing herself, and which is probably what she's attempting to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that she's pushing herself way beyond, and she's tired. She is. She's legitimately tired.
Mm. Gotcha.
But she doesn't have to be in a conversation about it.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps there's a continuum, and you know, from tired to fatigue, that it's not a different thing. It's just more more the same on a continuum.
Yes, and how much of it is the body? How much of it is conditioned
mind?
How much of it is emotion?
Right.
Belief system, identity that's being maintained. It's so interesting, and it's sad that we're conditioned to avoid these kinds of places. Somebody wrote into the email class, and I think the two conditions were OCD and hypoglycemia. Now, obsessive compulsive disorder and hypoglycemia will take you to some interesting places.
Hmm.
But all of our conditioning says, oh, no, normal people do not have these conditions. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to be this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the door is just closed.
Right.
So
right.
Can you imagine if you could just have OCD for a week, or if you could have hypoglycemia for a day? It would be so interesting.
Mm-hmm, just to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch where.
But what we get into is that there's something wrong with this. I want to get over this. This is scaring me.
And there's something wrong with me.
There's something wrong with me, and so I'm afraid to explore it. And as the, you know, as our previous caller pointed out, when we're willing to go into it, that what's revealed to us is always so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're freed. We're freed up from having to be anxious and afraid and worried and feeling inadequate. But it takes, for most of us, it takes a good deal of awareness practice to get to that point where we're willing to walk past all those voices saying, there's something wrong with this, don't go there, and to move into paying attention to what's actually going on, not the conversation in conditioned mind, but what's actually going on in this moment in the body with these sensations.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fascinating stuff.
It is. It surely is. So.
Yeah. Beats unconsciousness and ignorance.
Yes, it does.
Fear and hatred. There's just no comparison.
You're right. Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you
Take
soon.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Maggie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're nearly at the end of our hour here. Sherry, I really enjoyed that focus on all the body sensations. It's really rich for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of encouragement in our society toward this sort of thing, do we?
No.
No. We have a lot of feel something, take a medication, feel something, call an expert. So it's good. It's good to have these conversations and to realize that we, not only do we have the potential, the ability to become experts on ourselves, it's really our responsibility.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of disappointment and regret and anger and bitterness that people experience in their lives would be eliminated if they took that to heart. You know, it's not the doctor's fault. It's not, you know, it's not my parents' fault. It's nobody, you know, it's not a matter of fault. All of this is my responsibility because I'm the expert on me. And that's at every level. It doesn't matter. I don't care how many years of medical school somebody has had. I'm the expert on me, and it's my responsibility to know what's going on with me and how that medication affects me and what I need and what works and what doesn't work. And the only way we can meet that, fulfill that responsibility, is to learn to pay really close attention, which is not hard to do and which makes life incredibly exciting.
Yes, and that's what we do here on this show.
We try.
We try.
God knows we try.
Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.
It's been a great show, and we'll catch up with everyone next week.
Yeah. Take care, Michael. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.